Fusion, the international science radio show.
We have a bouncer and the doors of perception.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
It gets pretty exciting.
The myths, the truths.
Toxicology.
Astro-seismology.
Magnetism. The dark side.
Genetically engineered potatoes.
Planetoid.
Planetoid.
I love that word.
This show was first broadcast on the 4th of February, 2019.
Hello and welcome to Diffusion. Sit back and relax while we plant the seeds of weird and wonderful science directly into your fertile imagination. I'm Ian Wolfe. This week, Nathan Waters talks about human needs now and in the future. First up, here's news about fake steaks and a cheap drug that might let you live 20% longer. ...3D printed steaks. Even the most realistic tasting fake meats, whether made from lab-grown meat or from vegetables, have lacked the fibrous stringy texture of a steak made from animals. At best, they have the texture of hamburger patties. The Nova Meat Company in Barcelona, started by researcher Giuseppe Chonti, has found a way to use plant proteins in a 3D printer to make fake steaks with the same texture as beef steaks. The plant proteins can also be printed to have the texture of a chicken breast. Nova Meat claim they can print 100 grams of highly nutritious synthetic steak at a cost of €2 in just 30 minutes, which is enormously cheaper and faster than lab-grown meat. Mass production should massively reduce the price. Memphis Meat, Miu's Meat, and Just Meat all sell lab-grown meat. Meat grown in labs is made using animal cell cultures that are fed with fetal bovine serum, which requires slaughtering a cow and its embryo for the embryo's blood. Despite the PR spin, lab-grown meat is not kind meat and won't be killing-free as long as muscles require blood. And the best kind for Petri dishes is aborted cow embryo blood. Even if they manage to find a way to make muscle cells go against millions of years of evolution and somehow eat something other than blood, the texture of lab-grown meat is at best like hamburgers, and has never been fibrous like meat from dead animals. The burgers made by competitors like Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat are said to taste so much like real beef that they can fool meat eaters. But they can't get the fibrous texture of meat that hasn't been ground up. Dutch company Vivera started selling steak replacements made from soy and wheat protein in 2018, with a bleeding look from beetroot juice. Unlike Nova Meat, these fake steaks are not suitable for people who are gluten intolerant. Vivera's manufacturing process is secret, but they claim to have a steak-like texture and flavour. Reviewers online say the texture is more like hamburger and the flavour is meaty, but not like beef. Giuseppe Chonti has been working for 10 years on bioprinting various synthetic tissues, from artificial corneas and skin to artificial ears. He spent the last 3 years working on the synthetic meat bioprinter at the Polytechnic University of Catalonia. He takes the nanofibers in plant proteins from rice and peas and rearranges them to more closely resemble the shape of the nanofibers of animal protein that make up cuts of beef and chicken. The resulting paste is squirted from the nozzle of a 3D printer to sculpt synthetic meat. Nova Meat claim the rice and pea amino acids give the synthetic meat the same nutrient value as beef and chicken. Nova Meat also has edible seaweed, or algae, as one of its ingredients, so people with ciguatera fish poisoning won't be able to eat them. Nova Meat are partnering with chefs to get the flavours closer to the animal originals, but it's early days for Nova Meat, and the flavours aren't there yet. Shonti says the technology for realistic beef and chicken flavours has already been developed, so he has every confidence that Nova Meat will be able to produce and sell something that looks and tastes like the real thing without killing any animals. Shonti will be presenting his work to the United Nations World Food Organization because the printed fake meat could be produced with specific properties to combat malnutrition. I look forward to the day when I can have a 3D printer for food in my kitchen. One drug to treat many causes of aging. Drugs that block receptors for the hormone angiotensin may slow aging and treat and prevent Alzheimer's disease. In experiments, mice lived more than 20% longer. The drugs are now out of patent, so they're cheap, and they have no side effects for most people. Angiotensin is a hormone in the renin-angiotensin system that causes blood vessels to constrict, which increases blood pressure. Angiotensin also stimulates the release of aldosterone from the adrenal cortex to promote the retention of sodium by the kidneys, which also raises blood pressure. High blood pressure causes some of the illnesses and injuries of old age. Angiotensin is also implicated in immune, inflammatory, and heart illnesses. Renin causes blood vessels to dilate. The sequence of discoveries over the 10 years from 2006 to 2016 is interesting. In 2006, researchers from the US Institutes of Health and the Slovak Academy of Sciences in Slovakia found that blocking angiotensin receptors made rats lose fat tissue. They got thinner. In 2008, a study from the University of Boston showed that people taking angiotensin receptor blocker medication were 40% less likely to develop Alzheimer's disease. Those who were already diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and taking angiotensin receptor blocker medication had a 45% lower chance of developing delirium or being admitted into a nursing home. In 2009, an Italian-American research collaboration showed that blocking the angiotensin receptor genes allowed mice to live more than 20% longer than any of the control mice. The mice lived 31 months instead of 24 months. The engineered mice developed less heart and vascular injury, and multiple organs from these mice displayed less oxidative damage than control mice. They also found that the sirtuin and NAD plus longevity genes that are activated by diets that restrict calories severely were regulated upwards in the mice with disrupted angiotensin receptor genes. More than 85% of the engineered mice were still alive 7 months after all of the control mice had died. In 2010, researchers at the Mario Negri Institute for Pharmacological Research in Italy replicated the study and also engineered mice with the angiotensin receptor gene knocked out. Their engineered mice also lived much longer than the control mice. They found that their engineered mice had their organs protected from oxidative damage and didn't suffer as badly from aging symptoms. The mice showed an increased number of energy-metabolizing mitochondria and higher activity from the longevity-promoting sirtuin genes that regulate NAD+. In 2012, researchers at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles found that people who had been taking angiotensin receptor blocker medication died with less Alzheimer's disease amyloid plaques and pathology visible in their brains. In 2014, researchers from the University of Santiago de Compostela in Spain found that Parkinson's disease is made worse by angiotensin because it increases oxidative stress and inflammation. They concluded that angiotensin receptor blocking medication may improve Parkinson's disease. Metabolic syndrome increases your risk of diabetes, stroke, and heart disease, with symptoms of obesity, high blood pressure, high blood triglycerides, low levels of HDL cholesterol, and insulin resistance. In 2016, researchers from the National Institute of Cardiology in Mexico showed that the speeded up aging found in people suffering from metabolic syndrome was slowed down in rats with metabolic syndrome who had been engineered without the angiotensin receptor. They aged more slowly. The bottom line is that safe, common and cheap angiotensin receptor blocking drugs may in fact extend our lives into a healthy old age. The drugs lower your blood pressure, make you thinner, stop Alzheimer's disease, reduce inflammation, boost your immune system, reduce oxidative damage, treat Parkinson's disease, treat metabolic syndrome, and promote the expression of anti-aging NAD plus promoting genes. Not bad for a cheap generic drug with minimal side effects. You're listening to Ian Wolfe on Diffusion Science Radio. Send emails to science@diffusionradio.com. We're brought to you across Australia on the Community Radio Network and podcast over the internet on www.diffusionradio.com. Human needs into the future. Nathan Waters is an entrepreneur and futurist. He founded Peerism, which is a blockchain-based project to build a new economy, Sid Ethereum, a monthly Ethereum meetup, and Hackagong, one of Australia's largest intensive collaborative programming and problem-solving hackathon competitions. In part one of this talk, Nathan is mapping human needs and predicts which will get better and which will get worse. He spoke at a Transhumanism Australia meeting in December 2018. Nathan used some adult language in his talk, which I've modified for the Community Radio Network broadcast.
So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Nathan Waters.
Thanks. I just finished mapping all the human needs and kind of working out, if you go down all the list of human needs, which ones are likely to get better in the future and which ones are just getting worse. And so everything's bad, but getting better. Except housing, freedom, purpose, and equality. So this is kind of the goal. Like really, like, you know, once we get to the singularity, everything else is moot. Like, so if you don't know what the singularity is that point where we kind of, I guess some people define it as like where, you know, AI and artificial intelligence kind of overtake humanity and they just exponentially grow. Or I kind of define it as like the point where we just merge with machines and after that it's just crazy town. Like, you know, None of this fleshy monkey business. No,
really bad.
People just like pure digital energy and just, yeah. Digital bad people. I kind of boiled down this like, so I'm kind of an entrepreneur. I like doing startups, I like kind of making stuff. And yeah, and I kind of just, you know, I've always thought of jobs as slavery. So I've always tried to work out how to avoid getting a job. And that led to startups. And then that led to basically becoming very anti-capitalist, as you do, because jobs are slavery and capitalists are our slave owners. So I kind of mapped all the future human needs out and then just mapped them to the different projects that I want to work on. So I'm currently working on just a real estate type startup at the moment just to try and generate money. But then I want to work on, so Peerism, which I've been kind of off and on, kind of formulating and trying to get, you know, different ideas happening, and I can explain that later. And then also van homes. I can explain that. Air quality, so human need air, like, you know, it's actually pretty bad these days. But, you know, in the future, air pollution's trending down. If you look at all the graphs, you know, we're inevitably going to get 100% clean energy, renewables. It's just inevitable. The economics are driving it. We're going to have all electric on-demand transport. We're going to have satellite monitoring. You'll be able to see, you know, instantaneously where the pollution's coming from for any type of pollution. Yeah. Water, again, it's bad. I looked up, apparently a child dies every 2 minutes of a waterborne disease. People waste 200 million hours every day fetching water. And the UN says that 5 billion people will suffer a water shortage in 2050. But we live on a water planet. So if you can kind of solve energy, if you have abundant energy, kind of goes the kind of claim, then you can have desalination, because desalination is really just a cost issue. And you've got places like Israel that most, I think they're already at the point where they're actually desalinating so much more water that they're exporting it to their neighbors. So water should be fine in the future. All of these, like, yeah, should, like asterisks. Housing, yeah. Sydney's like one of the most unaffordable places. So it's 12 times the annual income. If it's 3 times, that's considered unaffordable. So we're 12 times. 75% of all global housing markets are classified as unaffordable around the world. People typically spend, the average is usually like 30% on their rents and usually 50% on their mortgage. And by 2025, 1.6 billion will lack access to adequate housing. In the future, it's still going to be pretty bad because we're urbanizing. So most people are moving into cities. I don't really see that changing. I mean, there's the argument that, you know, if we get hyperloops and VR and all this other stuff, we'll kind of spread out and we'll want to live outside the cities. But then it's like, well, people like being together. We're a social creature. So I think even if we have like perfect VR, I think we're still going to want to centralize in cities. You've got zoning issues where, you know, you look at the suburban sprawl. Ideally, we should be living in all like giant towers that are close together so that, you know, we have access to everything and we're not causing environmental damage and sprawling out everywhere. But also, housing is really just bad because it's a speculative vehicle. That's really what it gets down to. Food, 1 billion people go to bed hungry every night. 7 million premature deaths per year from lack of food, I guess it is. And livestock use 80% of agricultural land. But in the future, you know, GMO, lab-grown, vertical farming, robotic farming, drone deliveries, like, we should be able to solve our food shortage issue. Clothing. Clothing today, so 85% of clothes are thrown out in landfill. It actually emits more CO2 than aviation and shipping combined. And, you know, it's obviously exploiting poor workers. We're all wearing Chinese clothes. We don't know where they came from. Maybe blockchain can fix that. Maybe blockchain will become a really terrible scathe on the landscape. Who knows? Clothing in the future. Fully autonomous robotic factories, direct-to-consumer, you know, more recycling, renewable, digital e-ink. I love the idea of, like, it'd be great if we could just wear morph suits that just like climate controlled and they just change the pattern on the outside and everyone could just wear the same thing and not have to worry about what you're gonna wear in the morning. I wear the same SpaceX shirt every day just because it's easy and it fits well. But yeah, it'd be great to just have dynamic e-ink morph suits. Sanitation, it's pretty bad. 1 in 3 lack access to a toilet and other things. 280,000 people die of diarrhea every year. Really bad. In the future, it's getting better. You can look at the stats, like open defecation is going down. You know, we're going to have, you know, maybe things like waterless toilet seats and stuff like that. Energy, 80% of the world currently uses fossil fuels. 2 billion cars, combustion engine cars by 2030, using 100 billion oils a barrel per day. But in the future, I mean, solar is actually already the cheapest form of energy, pretty much in most places in the world. We've still just got to crack the battery thing, which is kind of happening. It's inevitable that we're all going to have all electric on-demand transport, and if that happens, you don't need 2 billion cars. You need maybe a couple of 100 million, because cars are only used like, what is it, like 97% of the time they're just sitting idle. I mean, they're all parked. You walk down the street, it's parked cars. Parked cars, empty houses. It's weird. Safety. So, yeah, today there's a lot of active conflicts, still a lot of deaths, $1.7 trillion on global military spending. In the future, you know, it's going to go down, hopefully, unless this is the caveat, like autonomous weapons and climate change, like that could make things a lot worse for a lot of people. Education, yeah, it's kind of another speculative vehicle that people are exploiting, a lot of companies. But in the future, I mean, you know, and even now, I think things like universities are kind of irrelevant today, even though we go to them for the cultural aspect and the social aspect more than anything. But most employers don't even care about degrees anymore. And, you know, we're getting to the point where it's 100% free online education from the best in the world. Healthcare, I think this is from like the US. I think the US kind of brings this down. But yeah, we spend a lot on healthcare. A lot of people still die. I mean, we still have death. We haven't cured aging yet. In the future, hopefully immortality. Hopefully, you know, it all goes down. AI robotics, organ printing, preventative healthcare. We just measure everything. Quantitative self. Tech. Still, like, only 55% of people have internet access, which is kind of weird. But in the future, we all know tech's going up. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of it, a lot of consumerism. Communications, same thing. It's slow, expensive. But in the future, super fast internet everywhere. I mean, I think there's a story today where Elon Musk just, like, fired a bunch of his managers because they're going too slow on his Starlink project to have the entire world kind of covered in satellites to offer, like, 1 gigabit per second internet. So that's going to go. I think we'll have things like mesh nets and stuff like that. But, you know, obviously, like, manipulative AI, filter bubbles, social media, this is all potential caveat. Same thing, transport. 2 billion combustion engine vehicles in the world. It's slow, it's congested. 1.3 million road deaths annually. And in Australia, so we spend 151 hours stuck in traffic annually for those who drive. I don't have a car. Don't need a car. But in the future, Hyperloop tunnels, it's just going to be cheap. It should be accessible to everyone. But, okay, so freedom. So class mobility is declining for the poor. Like, basically a lot of places where if you're born into the poor, it's hard to change, which is terrible. I mean, a lot of us, the livelihood's going down for people. What's that stat? Like, the lifespan in the US is actually reversed for the first time in a long time, forever, because of the opioid epidemic. And, you know, a lot of people don't have savings, so because we're paid so little, wages have been suppressed for the last, whatever, 40 years or something. And so, you know, if you lose your job, you basically got to go to your next slave owner. And so in the future, well, our freedom's going to get it worse. You've probably heard of the Chinese social credit system. If that works and it kind of functions and governments like it, they're going to replicate it everywhere else. Like, why not? You know, you're going to have AI-powered authoritarianism. You're going to have both physical and digital segregation, probably based on wealth. And global surveillance is inevitable. I like the idea of global surveillance, provided it's just done by a passive AI and no humans can kind of control it. Like, you know, imagine a friendly AI that's watching us that doesn't do anything evil. And so purpose, again, so our traditional... So like our traditional life, this is why I think a lot of the world is kind of in chaos a little bit and other reasons, but you know, the traditional life pathways of, you know, get a job, get a house, get married, die, that doesn't really work anymore. And 50 to 80% of workers hate their jobs in different areas. So they just study in the US and UK and it's, yeah, people just don't like it. And on top of that, yeah, something like 40% of all jobs on the planet likely to be automated by 2030. And, you know, social media is fueling anxiety and depression and blah, blah, blah. So in the future, this is actually an interesting thing that I thought of recently, I don't know why, but yes, things are being automated. Yes, the reason we worry about automation is entirely because of who owns the automation. Like, if things were automated and we shared in that wealth as a species, then we'd all be like, yeah, automate shit as fast as possible. But the problem is, if your job gets automated, all that happens is your salary goes from the cost column to the profit column for the shareholders and the owners of the company. That's why we hate it. And the fact that we do hate automation is like a sign of how sick our economy is. It's a broken system. But one thing I thought of is that, well, automation isn't going to be this thing where it just suddenly drops and just everything's automated really quickly. It's going to happen in waves that are going to be really bad for humans. Because you think about it, like, the only reason, if you're an employee, if you're in a company, the only reason you automate is if it costs you less than paying a human. And so, cool, you do that. If it does work out that way, you automate that, and then, you know, you lose a bunch of people. So now the labor supply goes up, and so now labor is cheaper. And so if labor is cheaper, then there's no reason to keep automating, because if the labor is cheaper than it is to buy the automation, you stop until that reverses. And so it'll go in cycles. And so we'll just be working for less and less money, having to work more and more hours to survive. That's what's already happening now, you know. You look at the unemployment rate, looks great, but, you know, part-time work's gone up. Underemployment's gone up because everyone's having to work, yeah, part-time work for more hours for less pay. And, yeah, the automations are owned by the elite. And AI is really only profitable for the high-level tasks. So it's more likely that things like managers and, you know, finance brokers and bankers are more likely to be automated, because it makes more sense to automate a 200 grand a year job than it does to automate a 30 grand a year job. Inequality, 5 men own more wealth than half the world. Top 1% take 82% of the wealth every year. This is why everything's really bad. Capitalism. In the future, Bezos is going to own all the world's wealth. Why not? it's trending towards that direction. You know, it's gone from like 40 people to, like, you look at every year, now it's down to 5 who own half the world's wealth. And we're getting, you know, 2 class power divides and stuff like that.
That was part one of a talk by Nathan Waters, predicting the future of human needs. Listen next week for Nathan's insights into how the future of work and housing will change people's power relations.
There's this awful gap in our lives just because we don't have...
Oh, I keep hoping someone can find a way to...
Don't be a fool, Mary. You know that's impossible.
Oh, I know. It's just that...
Gad, it's ironic... With all our technology and industrial know-how, we still don't have the one thing that could give us a better way of life. They say it can't be done, that it's just an impossible dream.
And that's all from us this week on Diffusion. Send your contributions, opinions, helpful suggestions, and donations to science@diffusionradio.com. That's science@diffusionradio.com. Please do send me an email with a question I can answer on the show. Please like the Diffusion Science Radio page on Facebook and rate us on iTunes. Tell your friends. Follow me on Twitter @IanWolf. The news music was Rhinos Theme by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Sound check and fact-checking by Charles Willock. I produce Diffusion, which is broadcast around Australia, to 28 stations on the Community Radio Network, including 2RBM in the Blue Mountains of New South Wales, 8CCC in Alice Springs and Tennant Creek, 2MVR in Nambucca Valley, 3MBR in the Mallee Border Districts of Victoria and South Australia, 7LTN City Park Radio in Launceston, Tasmania, and my local station, 2RDJ in Burwood, New South Wales. Diffusion is syndicated globally on the National Science Foundation's Science 360 internet radio station, and also on astronomy.fm. Subscribe to the podcast on the Diffusion website, www.diffusionradio.com. That's www.diffusionradio.com. And check the website for links, photos, and videos about this week's show. If you enjoyed the show, you can explore more than 950 previous episodes archived on diffusionradio.com, where the shows are labelled by keywords, so you can focus in on the stories you want to hear. Subscribe to the Diffusion YouTube channel at youtube.com/c/diffusionradio. I'm Ian Wolf. Join us inside your audio device of choice for more science wondering next week on Diffusion Science Radio.
Science is fun. It helps you to learn, to know, and to appreciate. When you study science, you may go on field trips. You discover the marvelous interrelationships between all living things. You learn to read the history of the Earth as it is written in rocks and fossils. You find out what makes things tick. Everything from a molecule to a living organism. In the study of science is found the most useful and satisfying knowledge of man. Knowledge of his physical world, its past, its present, and its future. And in your moments of relaxation, now and in the years to come, you will find the study of science leading you into fascinating pursuits. Photography. Collecting. Why study science? Study science because you will find in the study of science a richer, more rewarding life.